Hello, and welcome to The Writer's Dish on Jefferson Public Radio, where we explore the world of writing and publishing. I'm your host, Amy Miller. So here's a dilemma a lot of writers face. Let's say you've written a book, a novel or a memoir or a nonfiction book. Congratulations, you've done it. It's done, but you feel like it's maybe not quite polished. You want to send it off to agents or publishers, but you know it's not quite ready. Maybe it needs an edit for grammar, or you'd like to see if someone can help you with the flow of the book. So in a writer's dream, you would send that book off to a publisher anyway, and they would love it. Sure, it's rough, but they would put one of their own editors on it, and they would work with you for a few months getting it into shape. But that's not really how it works. These days, many publishers will reject a book that needs an edit and will suggest you find an editor to work with. But how do you do that? And what kind of editing do you ask for? We're going to answer some of those questions today. My guest, Sierra Scout Cox, is a freelance editor who holds an MA in English from Arizona State University. Prior to launching her freelance editing business aimed at self-published and small press writers, she worked as a copy editor at Blackstone Publishing right here in Ashland, Oregon. Scout has edited nearly 100 books, including a number of New York Times and USA Today bestsellers by authors like Marshall Karp, Katherine Ryan Howard, and Sarah Foster. Scout, thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Well, first, I think we might want to start with a few definitions of different types of book editing, because we're going to be throwing some terms around today. So I think what I'll do is I'll toss out some terms to you here, and maybe you can give us a quick definition of each one.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy to do that.
Okay, so I'm thinking, first of all, content editing. Some might lump this in with developmental editing. Can you talk about what that is and if that's something that you have some experience with?
Yeah, so that typically is focused on the big picture of the book. So they're looking at the plot, the development of the story, the characters, the voice, the overall big picture of if your book is working and if there's plot holes or if everything makes sense. So that's a big picture edit that would typically take place right after you've finished drafting.
Okay. And then people talk about copy editing a lot. Can you talk about what that is?
Yes. Copy editing is primarily what I do. I love copy editing. So that's a focused edit on the smaller pieces of your manuscript. So the grammar on a sentence level and ensuring consistency across the book of spelling and grammatical choices that you've made and making sure that everything appears the same way from page to page. So say that you have the British spelling of a word on one page, but the American spelling on the next, a copy editor is going to find those little tiny granular details.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I would also say with copy editing that has a lot to do with kind of transitions from sentence to sentence and
yes.
paragraph to paragraph, kind of smoothing those bumps for the reader.
Yeah.
And then, those are kind of the two major types of book editing. We could also, there's also proofreading, which is kind of a nitpicky thing that happens
yeah.
at the very end where that person is making sure that any errors that got introduced during editing are taken out. And then there's like beta readers and cold readers who are way back at the beginning. That might be friends.
Yeah.
That read your book for you, make sure you buy them dinner because they're doing you a big favor.
Yeah. And there are professional beta readers out there, but that's typically something that you'll do earlier on in the drafting process.
Yeah, kind of when you're really looking for, oh, I think I've got a problem here. This isn't quite working, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just wanted to point out that there's a difference between an author getting ready to submit their manuscript to an agent or a publisher, we would call that conventional publishing, and somebody who wants to do self-publishing. Sometimes a self-publishing author might want to hire an editor, but they don't have to worry about being rejected by a publisher if they haven't.
Yes.
So I think that will probably, I just wanted to mention that for listeners because that may come up in our conversation a little bit. So let me start with kind of a basic question. How do people find an editor? If they've decided, oh, I think I need some help with this, are there some sites that they can go to? How do you recommend they search for somebody?
Yeah, so there are some websites that list industry professionals and editors that you can go to. I am listed on the site Readsy. That's a really popular platform for finding an editor. They only accept professionals who have worked in the publishing industry, and the vetting process is pretty extensive.
Oh, yeah.
So you know that you're getting a true professional, and they handle the payments and the contracts for you.
Oh, okay.
So it makes it a little bit easier on both ends. But
so there's sort of an agency.
Yeah, so they basically, yeah, they connect an author and an editor. They have cover artists as well. Mm-hmm. And they do charge a fee on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're willing to pay that fee, then it's like you're guaranteed to find somebody that you'll really enjoy like working with, and somebody that will elevate your book that you know is a professional.
Okay. Are there other ways, like a local person, if they wanted to find like a local editor that they could sit down with?
Yeah. So I typically drop off my cards at all of the local bookstores, and they've mentioned to me that they've had other publishing professionals do the same thing.
Interesting. So you might want to just actually go down to a bookstore and say, hey, do you know editors? I would not have thought of that.
Yeah. So check out, all the local, like the small used bookstores, the Book Exchange.
Oh,
Rebel Heart Books in Jacksonville has been really amazing in connecting me with authors.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also sometimes boards at the library. People will put their cards on there.
Okay.
So just kind of look around locally at all the places where people who like books go.
Yeah. And we should probably also mention writers groups, things like Willamette Writers in Oregon. I think that's a great resource for this kind of thing.
Yeah. Writers groups are an amazing resource also to get your early stages of beta reading and editing done.
Oh, yeah. Right. You can just kind of like-minded people, right, that you can get some help with. In your experience, what kind of editing do most authors need help with? Like, what are the issues that you see the most with people coming to you?
So as a copy editor, I often see that people have skipped a stage. People tend to think that once they've finished drafting their manuscript themselves, it is ready to go and be polished by the copy editor. But I often see that people have skipped a content editor. And it's really, really important to not skip that stage.
Gotcha. I'm just going to break in here. You're listening to The Writer's Dish on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm your host, Amy Miller, and today I'm speaking with freelance editor Scout Cox about the nuts and bolts of what various types of editors do. So we were talking about the things that most authors need and maybe don't know that they need. So maybe there are some pieces missing in the book.
Yeah, so sometimes I'll get a book for copy editing, and it's clear that it hasn't been through a developmental editor because there's plot holes or there's characters that are making choices that don't make sense for them, or the writing is just a little bit unpolished. And I always encourage those folks to hire somebody to do like an editorial assessment or a developmental edit on their book just to ensure it's in the best shape when it gets to the copy editing stage. And I do offer those services as well, but I am primarily a copy editor.
Gotcha. But you can help them steer them toward other kinds of editing that they need. That's great. So is there anything that an author can do to get their book manuscript into the best shape possible before they even decide whether they need a freelance editor? Like, what can they do on their own before they have to go out into the big world and kind of find somebody?
So I always suggest drafting the book at least twice before you really get a lot of other people involved, because you can find a lot of things on your own by carefully reading your book and critically reading your book.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we have our own pitfalls. Like, we get attached to I'm a writer as well. I get attached to my own characters. I don't want to cut certain scenes. I feel really proud of something that may not fit in the book. And so that's when it's important to get objective viewpoints from outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so I typically tell people to take it to writers groups.
Yeah.
Writers groups are an amazing resource. And
we're talking workshop groups.
Yeah,
in that case,
so like
you
critique.
Bring your work in and other people read it. And
yeah, so other folks read it. They make notes for you. They tell you what's working and not working.
Mm-hmm.
And also beta readers and having a friend or family member read it. But be careful with friends and family members because there is bias.
Yes.
And they want to make you happy.
Right. But sometimes you want to go to that person who loves you so much. It's really a temptation, isn't it?
Yes.
Sometimes.
It's also helpful if you have a friend or family member who's also a writer.
Uh-huh.
Because they can be more objective with you.
Yeah.
Like my fiance and I are both writers and we will tell each other honestly what's working and not working.
Mm-hmm.
And we give each other very productive advice.
Yeah. And then you're kind of in a position also to swap that service with the other person. Asking somebody to read a whole novel or something, that's a big ask.
It's
I gotta
a lot.
Say, sometimes when you're starting out, you think, oh, well, my friends will do it. But when you've been asked a few times, it's like, oh.
It's a lot of time.
Really?
I mean, it takes
take me out to dinner
days.
Or something.
Yeah.
So let's get down to some brass tacks here. How much money do these types of editing typically cost? ballparks? I mean, a lot of people have that question when they're kind of going into this.
Yeah, I get asked that quite often. And it's important to know because you want to budget for it. It's not an inexpensive service. Typically, for about a 60,000-word novel, which is pretty average, although the standard in publishing for word count seems to be creeping up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm seeing huge books right now in all the bookstores. So about a 60,000-word novel, with me specifically, every editor's different. People typically spend about $1,500 to $2,000.
Okay. Yeah. So they got to think about that in advance.
Yeah. You've got to budget for it and plan. You know, prioritize it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always like to ask a rude question or two while I'm in here. And spoiler alert, they're usually about money. That last one was
fine.
About money, too. But I'm really curious. So you are a freelance editor. This is what you do for a living. You know, freelancing isn't for everybody because you don't get a steady paycheck every month. And you have to go out and find, like, client after client after client, right? What kind of advice do you have for someone who might want to make a career out of freelance editing? Think that would be a cool thing to do.
Yeah, so freelance, my biggest piece of advice that I give folks is don't romanticize the lifestyle of a freelancer.
Oh, yeah.
You
that's
think
great.
Like, oh, I set my own schedule. I choose my own clients. That sounds wonderful. And it is wonderful. But the downside is there's months where I don't have an income.
Uh-huh.
So I have to have a savings. I have to have a cushion. If I were single, honestly, I couldn't do this work.
Partner is often a
partner
very
with a
9-to-5.
That,
right? Yeah.
A partner with a 9-to-5 is a huge resource. And like you have to sort out your own insurance benefits. You're running a business when you're a freelancer. So it's not something to take lightly.
Right.
You have to consider like what lifestyle sacrifices am I willing to make? You know, can I push my car another 100,000 miles? You know? And it's hard. Starting out's really hard, and you have to have the right personality to be able to network and meet folks, like, constantly.
Yeah, it is quite a lot of sales, actually.
Yes,
right?
I'm networking, I'm meeting new people all the time. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's great because I have an outgoing personality, and I love meeting people, and I love this work. But you do have to weigh the pros and cons.
Yeah. And that's actually, you and I met because of the Pacific Crest Writers Organization, which is here in Southern Oregon. You were a speaker at one of their meetings. And that was exactly why they set that organization up, was to get people networking together. I know a lot of writers have a lot of trouble with networking. There are a lot of shy writers out there. But really, even going to some of those meetings and meeting some of those folks is really, really valuable. And I wanted to say the bit about freelancing and the glamour of it all. I've been a freelancer for many years in addition to a day job, and it's a lot of nights of eating takeout in front of your computer while you're working, right?
Yes.
I remember just thinking, this is not glamorous at all.
No, I don't have normal work hours. I work weekends a lot. Nobody's telling me when to clock out, and if the project's due, a project's due.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So what's your favorite genre of writing to edit? Like, what do you have a particular type of nonfiction book or novel that you especially like to write, to edit?
Yeah. I love working on memoir. That's my favorite nonfiction.
Yeah.
As far as fiction goes, I love working on fantasy and I really enjoy working on romance.
Mm-hmm.
And I work on a lot of women's fiction and LGBTQ fiction.
Uh-huh.
My fiction genres are a lot wider because that's what I like to focus on.
Uh-huh. Do you have more takers with novels, more clients than nonfiction these days?
I have a lot of memoir clients.
Uh-huh.
Everybody wants to write a memoir.
There are a lot of memoirs going on out there.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting because I love to hear about people. But I do tend to have a lot more fiction clients than nonfiction.
Uh-huh. Okay. And if somebody wants to get to hold of you specifically, because they listened here today and they love you, do you have a website or some sort of contact information where they can reach you?
Yeah, so I'm still working on getting my website launched, but I do have, I'm always happy to be contacted via good old-fashioned email, which is cox.editing.services@gmail.com.
Okay.
Pretty straightforward business email. Hopefully my website will be launched in the near future.
Great. Well, you've been listening to The Writer's Dish, JPR's regional writing and publishing podcast. You can find the program and more on our website at jeffexchange.org or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for being on the show, Scout.
Thank you. I'm really glad that we got to do this. This was really fun.
Fantastic. Thank you for listening.